Good morning and welcome to the Grandeni S.A. conference to release and analyze the results for the fourth quarter 2016. We would like to inform you that this conference call will be held only in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. At this moment, all participants are in listen mode only. Ensuing this, we will have the question and answer session when you will receive instructions to participate. Should you require assistance during the call, please request the help of the operator by pressing star zero. We would like to remind you that this conference call is being recorded and will be made available on the site ri.grandeni.com.br. We have here with us the main executives at Grandeni, who will also be at your disposal to respond to your questions. Rudimar Dall'Onder, Director President, Gelson Luis Rostirolla, VP, and Francisco Schmidt, the IRO and the CFO, as well as the main managers for the company. We would like to inform you that the press release for the fourth quarter 2016 and the management report are also available on the website ri.grandeni.com.br in Portuguese and English. Before continuing, we would like to clarify that statements made during the conference call referring to operational and financial perspectives and estimates for the company business are mere outlooks based on the expectations of the management regarding the future of the company. All of these depend on market conditions, on the general economic performance of the country, the sector, and on international markets. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, the CFO and the IRO for the company. Mr. Schmidt, you may proceed.
Hey, good morning to all of you, and thank you for being present at one more conference call for Grandeni to release our results. We would like to remind you that we have posted an additional slide on the site called Presentation for the Conference Call to help you accompany what we are saying and where we have our highlights. Before we begin our discussion on our performance, we would like to draw your attention to the dividend payout. According to the present-day dividend policy set forth on February 13th, 2014, disseminated as a material fact on that same day and maintained until the year 2017, based on the amounts that we show on slide 22 of the presentation I referred to, the management has proposed for the 2016 exercise the following payout: 87,845,724.55 reais as the mandatory minimum dividend, corresponding to 25% of the dividend base, as shown on the slide. 263,537,173.65 of an additional dividend, additionally to the mandatory minimum dividend. The sum of these amounts represents a total amount of 351,382,898.20 reais, which, if we take this away from the quarterly advances that were carried out to the gross amount of 202,789.40.29 reais of interest on equity, gives us a balance that will be paid out of 148,593,857.91 reais, which the company will pay ad referendum from the ordinary general assembly that will have to approve the accounts for the 2016 exercise beginning on April 26, 2017, in the following way: 130 million reais for interest on equity giving us a net amount of 110,500,000 reais and 18,593,857.91 reais as a complimentary dividend for the 2016 exercise once again. To receive this interest on equity and this additional dividend, the shareholders for the Grandin share, GRND3, inscribed in the company registers on April 12, 2017, which is the cutoff date, ex-dividend and ex-interest on equity beginning on April 13, 2017 at the BMNF Bovespa. Let us go on to speaking about the results per se that have allowed us to have these dividends. The profit at Grandin in 2016 was 634 million, representing a return on net equity at the beginning of the year of 25.2%. And the company has proposed to pay out as dividends and interest on equity from this amount, 351.4 million. An increase compared to the dividend last year of 27.6%, representing a payout of 53%. The additional 47% will be reinvested in the company. Therefore, the equity value of our shares increased 11.7% during the year from 8.70 reais to 9.72 reais, and the dividend yield was at 6.3%. On slide 23 of this presentation, we're showing you the dividends, the interest on equity, and the evolution of the net equity of the company extending throughout the last 11 years. In the fourth quarter, we maintained the growth of our net profit vis-a-vis 2015 by 2.8%. We went from 240 million in the fourth quarter of 15 to 247 million for this quarter, maintaining the growth in the year 2016 vis-a-vis 2015 by 5.2%. This growth was somewhat lower than the inflation for the period measured by the consumer price index of 6.3% and the growth of 6.8% in the year 16 compared to 15. We can consider that we had a good performance considering the difficulties faced in the market, in the domestic economy, and then in the international scenario. We had a drop in the volume of pairs of 2.2% in the domestic market when we compare the fourth quarter 16 with the fourth quarter 15. In the year 2016, we were able to build this good result by growing our profit, increasing our margins, maintaining the return of our investments, and paying more dividends to our shareholders. We did this, of course, without interrupting the investments in our brand. We renewed our brand portfolios and we enforced our relationship with the distribution channels. In other words, we continue to strengthen our position for the future. To analyze the figures, it would be worthwhile remembering that for the year 2015, this is the base of comparison, and we are presenting adjusted results on that year, as was posted broadly. We provisioned as a loss the investments that we made in the sector of furniture with an accounting impact of 52 million. This loss had no impact on the cash generation for the year or in the future, and once again is a non-recurring expense. With a net profit obtained in 2016, Grandin attained a net profit of 31% and a growth of 5.2% compared to the adjusted net profit of 2015. 15.1% compared to our accounting profit, and 3.6 percentage points when it comes to the adjusted net margin of 215. If we compare this, it is an evolution of 6 percentage points in our net margin. I mentioned the accounting margin as this is our foundation for dividends. With this net profit, the operational cash generation in 2016 was at 566.5 million, allowing us to increase our net cash to 1.5 billion, even though we increased the payout of dividends as formerly mentioned. These results were obtained despite the drop that we had in the volume of pairs sold of 8.1% in the domestic market and 13% in export for the entire year. And this was offset by the increase in unit prices of 4.1%, resulting in a drop of net revenues of 7.1%, always comparing the same period in the previous years. In the brand construction, we made slides in the project Clube Melissa, overcoming the initial expectations that we had estimated in 2012 of attaining 200 stores until 2017. We closed the year 2016 with 241 franchise stores, which was a record for us. Additionally, we strengthened our traditional brands such as Ryder, Cartago, Ipanema, Zaxi, Grandeña, and Grandin Kings with countless marketing and communication efforts.
Sandalia Ipanema celebrated in its 15 years old, keeping growth of market share and its characteristics of being an innovative brand. And Ryder turned 30. At a great style, bringing back its most important icon, the first sandals of 1986 with an identical design to the original, with important technical alterations and three special editions signed by Sneakers BR. These and other efforts have guaranteed brands to grow in their main markets, as well as continue representatives in Grandeña businesses being recognized by several awards in the market. The management of these brand portfolios of products and licenses followed the combination of two kinds of performance. On the one hand, the cost to produce and deliver, and the other hand, the attractiveness of the offer. And I think that in this opinion, this is the strength of our competitive advantage. Those results should have been analyzed, having in mind that we estimate that the consumption of shoes in Brazil in 2016 had a drop for the third year in a row, already accumulating a drop in consumption, according to our estimates, of approximately 200 million pairs of shoes in the domestic market between 2013 and 2016. Once again, we were confronted with a quite disappointing domestic economic situation and a scenario of a very aggressive competition. Inflation went down, it's true. The Brazilian real was evaluated, but there were consequences in the loss of the country's investment rating, and also we continue to have political difficulties. Unemployment has not stopped growing, and there is an endless flow of bad news that is now being interrupted by signs of recovery with a bit of a regain of trust in consumers. And we see signs of a moderate improvement for 2017. In the foreign market, volatility went up with uncertainty relative to the economic performance of China and countries connected to commodities, especially Latin America, Middle East, and Africa, that had a year of weak economic activity. In Europe, they are still in a slow recovery, and economic predictability depends more on political factors as the Brexit, and also a protectionist threats that we have heard. The scenario led us to a more cautious pricing so as to preserve margins. Of course, we are also affected by the consequence of volumes to our exports. However, if we monitor the evolution of the meeting of goals in the period from 2008 to 2016, we see that Grendene's gross revenues grew 5.8% a year, as you can see on slide 24 of this presentation, and net income grew by 13% a year, as you can see on slide 25. Revenues were below our expectations, but our net income was as expected. This regularity of our performance, even with all the economic crises we went through in recent years, encouraged us to keep our goals for the period 2008 to 2018, that is a 10-year period. Remember that our goals are to grow in the period between 8 and 12%. I'm talking about a composite base, and net income between growing between 12 and 15%. However, it's important to restate what we said in the beginning of 2016. Again, this economic degeneration of the foreign market could threaten our reaching of goals in the 10-year period, which is happening in our revenues, although net income is still as expected. Since 2011, the Brazilian economic situation has been deteriorating. This is no surprise, with very low growth in 2015 and 2016, with steep drops in our GDP. And some analysts say that this can continue in 2017, although not as cheap. According to our estimates, consumption of shoes in Brazil has already dropped by 20%, the 200 million pairs I talked about, as compared to the peak of sales that we had in 2013. We do not expect other decreases in 2017. On the other hand, Grendene has been seeking with great effort and creativity to adapt to market conditions and has been showing great flexibility in attaining growing results, even in an unfavorable scenario. However, we cannot assure that we are going to have the same level of growth in results if there isn't at least some recovery in the shoe markets in the year of 17 and 18. Also in the beginning of 16, we said that we had no illusions that the economy adjustments that started in 2014 could be extended until 2018, affecting consumption and keeping a challenging scenario. We believe this, and we continue to do so, as the most likely scenario. On the positive side, Grendene continues to hit productivity records and controlling its costs and expenses very well. We have been able to pass on to prices, although not immediately, our increases in costs and continue to attract consumers in Brazil and overseas. Those characteristics can be evidenced when we increase margins, even when we have drops in volume. It has to be very clear that when there is a drop in volume, our margins are pressured to go down. And this has not happened because we are offsetting that with productivity, price, and efficiency. For all those reasons, we, despite being aware of higher risks, are keeping our target to 2018. Well, that was a brief summary of our company, and now we are going to open for Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, we now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1, and to withdraw your question from the queue, plus press star 2. And please do not keep your phone on the hook when you are asking the question to keep the best quality possible. Please wait while we collect the question. Our first question comes from Felipe Catineiro from Brasil Plural. Good morning, Schmidt and everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Well, in fact, I would like you to give a bit more color on exports. You talked about some countries that did have pressures in terms of consumption of shoes, but is there any specific factor, a particular competitor that became more aggressive, a market that pulled exports down? So this is my first question, and I would like to know your prospects as for exports that were very much affected, both in the fourth quarter and throughout the year of 16. Well, we do not see anything specific as for exports, even because the Chinese currency did not detach much from the dollar. If we had had a strong devaluation of the Chinese currency or a valuation of the real compared to the Chinese currency, then we could see a stronger movement of exporters going up. What we did was that there was a drop of consumption in several countries, in Latin America, for sure. And not only a drop in consumption, but protectionism. Countries like Turkey, for instance, closed the market for the import of shoes. And it was a market we exported to. Other countries like Australia, very much connected to the commodity cycle, also were affected by the drop of exports. In Europe, we do not see major changes in the whole of the continent. We do see a greater drop in the areas I mentioned, Latin America and countries that are more sensitive to commodities. Bolivia did take some procedures to make imports a bit more difficult. In Argentina, we don't have much of a problem with export quotas any longer, but there was a drop in demand. And, of course, the crisis in Brazil that affects all our neighboring countries. So I would say that it is much more related to the drop in consumption than a matter of competition. We really do not see anything really special that would favor our Chinese competitors particularly. Okay, thank you very much. So about exports, in your release you say that the level of exchange, the real evaluating compared to the dollar can be a problem, and you are kind of putting up a red flag because of that. What would be the optimum exchange rate level that would bring a competitive advantage for Grendene in terms of exports? Well, it is very hard to tell. If you think of exports isolatedly from the whole scenario, which is basically just a theoretical scenario, because you know one thing is connected to the other. But anyway, the more devalued the Brazilian real, the more competitive our products would be. What happens is that generally the exchange variation is a reflex of what is going on in the domestic market. So if the Brazilian real goes down because of a crisis in the internal market, well, this is bad because the domestic market is affected. If the real is devalued because Brazil is doing well, this means that the domestic market is better. So it's a little hard to export, but the domestic market is better. So it's very hard to tell you what an optimum exchange rate level would be. If I think of exchange rates isolatedly from anything else, the lower the real, the better it is for us, because our costs are in reais and our revenues would be in dollars. So we would be more competitive, we would have higher margins and everything. But in this case, optimum would be just infinite. But, you know, exchange rate is not detached from the rest, from the remainder of the economy. And we have to see things as a whole. Okay. Changing subject about the amount of cash that you have accumulated. You said that in the end of the year, you closed with almost 1.6 billion. Do you have any idea, or could you give us a bit more color on what you intend to do in terms of cash? Any business you're looking into? Any specific use for this amount? Well, we believe that very soon we are going to reach the 2 billion mark. Despite the dividend payout, which is a quite relevant amount in terms of market, not only the dividend yield, but the absolute number of dividends is quite substantial. But still, we have been reinvesting the remainder of our profits, and the cash keeps most of this amount, and still we can pay out dividends at 25%. So mergers, acquisitions are always a possibility. But you know, what I always say, we at Grendene, we are like a value investor. For us to buy something, it has to make sense. The price has to be right. We have to be reasonably sure that the asset in our hands will yield more than our cash alone. So it is hard to find a good M&A possibility. If it comes up, we can take a look at it. But I think it is unlikely. Even if I think about what happened in recent years, that it will happen. Dividend payout, we are trying to pay out the most dividend possible. Of course, there are tax issues involved, and they have to be taken into consideration. And our cash is still growing. We are not sad about. Very likely soon we are going to have a cash amount of more than 2 billion. Okay, thank you very much, Schmidt. Our next question comes from Santiago Santos, an investor. Hello, good morning, Schmidt. Congratulations on your results. Excellent as always. My question has a bit to do with the previous question with regard to cash, but more in terms of the investments of this cash. When we had the explanatory notes on item 7, you have 1,568,000,000, and most of it is invested in CDIs. So although 104, 105 of CDI is an excellent rate, and it shows the competence of the company to negotiate with the financial market, I would like to understand your rationale, because the CDI is going down. The Selic rate will probably get to less than 10%. I don't know in what time span, but it will probably happen. So I would like to hear your comments on that. Are you thinking of changing investments and going to more prefixed types of investments? And what would be a not interesting Selic rate for you to invest? Well, you see, this year we did have a lower compensation rate that we had. If you think of previous periods, especially when the crisis hit, Grendene was able to get 108, 110% of the CDI in first-line types of investment. And we are talking about banks like Bradesco, Itaú, public bonds, etc. But our policy is always to invest our cash in conservative bonds and titles. So we do not variable income, leveraged investments. We are always talking about CDB, public bonds, post-fixed CDI, a bit of prefixed as well, but little, some IPCA plus interest, IPCM plus interest. So these are basically the kinds of investments that make up for our cash. As for the drop in the Selic rate, that will depend again on what will happen with the remainder of the economy. If the Selic interest rate goes down and the economy is thriving, oh, then we can invest more in our business of shoes. Remember that we had a drop of 200 million pairs. So although we know that our business is not really capital intensive in terms of fixed capital, in terms of working capital, it is. You know that the company has this habit of providing for 100 days for the clients to pay in terms of receivables. And this is good because we believe this is good financing for our clients. And our accounts receivable went down because of that. Our inventory went down because of that. So we believe a healthy economic indicator of the company is to see when the working capital is not being used and to turn it into cash. So if the Selic goes down and the activity goes up, part of this cash is going to accounts receivable, to inventory, and et cetera, which we would love to see happening because we see in this portfolio half fixed income, half shoes operation. Fixed income will yield 11-12%. For you to have a return of 25% over net worth, it shows how profitable the shoe operation is and how it has evolved a long time. So we do not have a number what Selic rate would be optimum and in which circumstances the cash could be a concern. And also, if you think of it, if the Selic rate goes down, some assets also lose value, or rather, they win value, and then we can invest in other things. But this is a different market reality, which is not the reality in which we are today. And I have no doubt. What we say is that if the Selic rate goes down, other pathways of investment become viable. When the Selic rate is too high, we cannot reach some alternatives. But again, we have to see how things flow, what happens, and what to do in each circumstance. Remember that interest rates in Brazil were down to 7%, a bit forcibly, but anyway, they were 7%. But still, it was a rate that was higher than the return of several companies. Few companies have return on equity as high as that, and they have to leverage themselves because of this. So I'm still waiting to see an interest rate in Brazil that is so low that it wouldn't make sense to have cash. Thank you very much.
We would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Once again, should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Star 1 for questions. The next question is from Rodrigo Gerard. Good morning, and I would like to congratulate you on your very good results. I'm asking about your sales, and this because of what I have read on Facebook, which are the measures that you're taking to maintain your sales? I'm not sure if I understood your question thoroughly because of the sound. It seems that you're asking about after sales. Oh, technical assistance, I believe, that you offer as part of your after sales process. Well, Grenden does not sell directly to the consumers. You know, we go through the sales channel, and this could be a retail channel, a wholesale channel. And it is this channel that will be servicing the end customer. And in this retail and customer relationship, there are always complaints that are normally resolved at the retail level. And if any complaint reaches the company because of a problem, the rate of this will be extremely low. We don't normally have quality problems in our production. And when these problems do arise, the customer perhaps had a price expectation or an expectation that is different, and that is why the complaints come about. Perhaps the improper use of the footwear could cause some problems, but we have no record of complaints or of any type of legal action or complaint at the PROCON, which is the Consumer Protection Agency. Thank you very much. And perhaps this is just a rumor on Facebook that tends to get overblown as usual. The next question comes from Felipe Casimiro from Brazil Plural. We would like to remind you that if you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. The next question, once again, is from Felipe Casimiro from Brasil Plural. I'm sorry, my connection dropped. Thank you for accepting my follow-up. I would like to now focus on the domestic market and ask you to speak about the dynamics of competition, what happened at the end of the year, and what it is that you imagine going forward for this first semester. That should continue to be quite slow because of the deterioration in the labor market and without expectations for great improvements during the first 6 months. Thank you. We have already observed a slight recovery of the domestic market in the fourth quarter, 2016. And I'm not sure if this can truly be called a recovery or a company strategy. In the fourth quarter, we had a slight drop in our volumes in the domestic market, but our income increased because of a price increase. This was the result of the mix that we worked with. We reinforced the greater added value products with a very good response, and of course, we attained good results in the domestic market. What we have observed at the beginning of this year is that it is better than expected, this
beginning seems to be quite promising. There is more consumer confidence. The retail market is willing to regain their inventories during the entire year of 2016. The retail market worked with the lowest inventory possible, and I think they have realized that a break in service will constitute a huge problem, and because of this, they are recomposing their inventory. Therefore, during the first quarter, and based on the what we observed in January and February, there should be a slight recovery. We're not expecting a great recovery in the economy. We will continue to have a slow economy until May. We can see this from the number of companies that have laid off their personnel. And of course, this ends up giving us an indication of how severe employment will be, as we have enormous unemployment, it will be very difficult to take up consumption once again. Nevertheless, we do observe a somewhat different environment this quarter compared to the 2016 first quarter. When it comes to competition, the dynamic has differed in the different segments. Melissa is doing very well. The Clube Melissa initiative was, of course, the right initiative. We had an increase of 33 stores last year, which is considerable, as this was a year when most of the stores were closing. We heard that over 100 stores closed down in the retail market. 100,000 stores, I'm sorry, closed down. And these were the figures that have been estimated since the end of 2015 to 2017. We have a good ticket, we have good margins, and this has given thrust to our business. When it comes to the Ipanema sandal or flip-flops, we have a market dispute, but without great changes in terms of positioning during the last few years. At times, one company is ahead, at other times it falls behind. Our brand is new. It was new 15 years ago, and it has attained a significant position in those 15 years. We don't foresee great strides. Ipanema has grown in a continuous and sound fashion. In the women's segment, we do have some very strong competitors that have grown, not necessarily with the same footwear that we produce, but they are increasing their share. And we're somewhat mortified when it comes to advertising and marketing. Open television can no longer be considered as the only media. It has lost its importance and has forced us to change our strategy. And many companies have disappeared in this interim. With a drop of consumption, many companies have tended to disappear. And we're now side by side with the stronger companies. I will not mention names. I'm sure you are aware of them. Some of the larger companies appear in the headlines. The others die along the way. So this is what we have observed as part of our competitive scenario. Thank you very much, Schmidt, for your clarification.
Just as a reminder, if you have a question, just press star one. We are now closing the Q&A session, and we'll turn the call over to Mr. Francisco Schmitz for his final considerations.
Well, what we expect for 2017, as I mentioned, is to have some recovery in our economy and, in the worst-case scenario, some stability. We believe that macroeconomic adjustments will continue, and the advantage is that now they're a bit more predictable. In the same period last year, unpredictability was huge. So what I can tell you is that Grandene is an excellent market positioning. We have solid finance, and our capacity to yield good results remains. And we are going to adapt to whatever scenario comes so that we can keep growing results. I don't know what's going to happen, if the interest rates are going to go down, if the economy is going to pick up, if we are going to have stability. In whatever scenario, Grandene will continue to yield results. This is what we know what to do. Thank you very much for attending this conference call. Grandene's conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for attending and wish you a good day. Thanks for using Chorus Call.